This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Indeed, let's talk footy. Melbourne's Joy 94.9 FM. Myself, Dougal Austin, and John Donohoe and Pat Kennedy have had to nick out of the studio, unable to join us at the moment. But got to move on with the show, and look, we've had a big week. We like to, on Let's Talk Footy on Joy, listeners, we like to keep in touch of the different leagues around the state, which include the Western Footy League, the Southern Footy League, the Northern Footy League, the Eastern Footy League. And look, this week, I thought, no better opportunity than to have a deeper look inside the Eastern Football League and see who's been playing well and who's not been playing well, and some of the results from the past weekend. And to take us through latest news out in the Eastern Football League is the media manager at the EFL, Mr. Ben Waterworth. Benny, thanks for joining us briefly. Let's Talk Footy on Joy 94.9 this evening. Big week that we've just had of Eastern Football League action.
Thanks, Stu. It's good to be on. Always a big week in the EFL, no matter what. We're about a month and a half away from our final series, so teams just starting to polish themselves up before the finals or make a bit of a desperate run late.
Well, let's have a look at a couple of games. Of course, you had the radio game on Saturday, I believe. It was South Croydon and Roeville out at South Croydon there, and what a match it turned out to be.
The closest match across the whole EFL, Dukes, ended up being South Croydon getting over the line by 4 points. Most people going into the game thought Roeville would win, but South Croydon caused a bit of a mini upset, I suppose you could say. Personally, first-hand, saw South Croydon about round four, round five this year, and they got thumped by East Ringwood. But they're a different side now, and they've with that victory over Roeville, they now put themselves into the top five. They had some great ball users throughout the day. A man I want to point out, Glenn Strawn. If he's not one of the best ball users in Division 1, I don't know who is, because some of his left-foot kicks on the weekend were absolutely outstanding. They had some great support up forward. Robbie Mallison, 4 goals. Blair Allen, 5 goals. So South Croydon might be a real smoky to make that top five, and it's a pretty amazing effort because most people were tipping South Croydon for relegation pre-season. Now they could sneak in that top five. So well done to the Dogs.
Everyone thought that Vermont and Noble Park might be another classic out there, but Vermont proved too strong for Noble Park over the weekend.
Suppose the most amazing thing about this game, Dukes, is that Vermont a couple of weeks ago went down to the mighty Baldwin by quite a significant margin.
My team, Baldwin, go the Tigers.
Yeah, the Tigers are going very nice themselves, yes. But Vermont, on the other hand, they were coming up against Noble Park, who many thought were the team to challenge Baldwin, the second best team in Division 1, but Vermont always just lifts that extra notch when they're playing at home, and just some of their stars just rose, and I understand Ryan Mullett, who's won 2 Chandler medals, which is our version of the Brownlow medal. He accumulated 41 possessions on Saturday afternoon, according to Vermont's stat sheet, so he was all over it. Tom Schneider, a former Boxfield Best and Fairest winner, he was on fire, and Justin Van Nieuwen also having a very nice day up forward. So their big guns, their big keys, whether it's in the midfield or up forward, were able to get the job done for the Eagles.
You mentioned Justin Van Nieuwen up forward, 7 goals. I mean, he just continues to kick bags and bags of goals. He must be in line for the leading goal scorer there in the EFL.
He's on top at the moment, Dukes. Cody Morris from Roeville sitting second, Luke Barker in third from Baldwin. But Justin Van Nieuwen come to the club this year. Spent a year down at Rye, has kicked over 120 goals at Rye last year, has come to Vermont, the powerhouse of the EFL, the club that is synonymous with the league, and he's just taken in and slotted in very, very nicely. So he's going along very nicely at the moment. Not a tall player, but pretty athletic and certainly knows where the goals are, whether he's having a set shot for goal or a snap around the body, he just knows where they are.
And of course, a man that I had big raps on in his Box Hill Hawks career, Tommy Schneider, out at Vermont this year, kicked a goal over the weekend, continues to impress nicely down there.
He most certainly does. He's not a big man, Tom Schneider, but he just knows how to get the football and in and under. Can do it both inside and outside. I think that's the best thing about Tommy. Chris Barlow at the start of the year just had a little bit of a question mark over his disposal, but seems to have rectified that of late, or is certainly working on it very, very hard, and is now a key cog in that Vermont midfield. Watch out for him come finals time, because he's the kind of guy, I reckon, that Vermont would love to have on their side come near the business end in September.
Now, you mentioned Chris Barlow, former Hawthorne player?
Former Hawthorne player, yes.
Yes, and coaching out at Vermont this season?
He most certainly is. He's had, he started at Vermont, he's playing days at Vermont, went to Hawthorn as a mini mature age pick, sort of early 20s, played a few seasons down there at Hawthorn, might have played over 100 games there, and he's come back to the EFL over the past 10 years or so, had stints at Noble Park and also had stints at Blackburn, and has now found himself back at Vermont. So he's going about his business very nicely. A well-respected coach, certainly amongst the playing group, well-credentialed as well, and he's got a good side on his hand. The side that currently sits second in Division 1, so he'd be a happy man.
Now, one of the matches that did surprise me over the weekend, the East Build Rams up against Blackburn, and a friend of mine that I know at SEN 1116, Matt Lee, he's a big Rams supporter, and he would have been all smiles on Saturday afternoon because they had a big win over Blackburn.
Would have been grinning from ear to ear, would have young Matt Lee, but a magnificent effort by East Burwood. Just to give a bit of context to listeners, East Burwood, one of the proudest clubs in the AFL, have been in Division 1 for 52 years. They are on the brink of going down to Division 2 for the first time in their AFL history. So they're a very proud club. They were two games behind the second bottom placed East Ringwood heading into the round.
Paul Hooper won't be happy with that one, with Blackburn going down into the relegation zone.
That's right, Blackburn are right in it now, and East Burwood knocking off Blackburn. So a big opportunity for the Rams. Now they've won their second game of the season. They've got a beauty of a young forward in Jaden Duven. He put in 6 goals in the weekend, recently nominated for the Lady Young Gun Award. So they've got a beauty on their hands there, the East Burwood. Look, it's going to be tough for them to avoid going down to Division 2 still. They're still a fair bit of percentage behind, and they do have quite a tough run home. But so do Blackburn and East Ringwood as well, who are the two teams who possibly could go down. It might go down to the wire, but East Burwood just maybe left their run too late. But they play much better football in the past month compared to the opening few rounds.
No, playing some very good football out there, the Rams, and good to see they got off to a good start in that first quarter too, with 5-2. Always important to get off to a good start in any football match. East Ringwood, we're up against Borwen. East Ringwood hosting this match, and Borwen, they just continue to go on, win, and impress us all. And they had another emphatic victory.
They are the most amazing local footy side I've seen, Duke. They are just so clinical and organised and well coached, but they've just got the right mix of players, I think. That's the thing that makes them stand out. You know, a couple of years ago, they were well known for getting some ex-AFL players down there. Daniel Harford was the coach. They really changed that mindset, particularly over the past 24 months. And now Coach Daniel Donati has really galvanised this group, and they've just got the right mix. A great bunch of ex-VFL players and, you know, high-credential TAC Cup players, and they're just going from strength to strength at the moment. A strong win over East Ringwood. Look, East Ringwood have never any chance. The Borwen certainly stamped their authority in the competition once again. They have every chance to go through this home and away season undefeated.
And of course, Luke Barker in fine form as well. Another 6 goals out there. And Taylor Gilchrist, there's an interesting one. Of course, former Box Hill Hawk, and played a handful of games with the Sydney Swans as well. So they've got a couple of handy players in there. And one player I noticed running around for Borwen there, Benny S. Trigar, Shane Trigar, I believe he's a former Sandringham player in the VFL.
Shane Tregear is a very, very a good player for the Bournemouth Football Club now as well. He's an athletic wingman. He's almost the role of a wingman in today's modern footy has really disappeared quite a fair bit, but Tregear plays that traditional wingman role quite well. He's able to push forward and kick goals as well. He's got one of the most damaging left boots in Division 1, a thumping kick and normally a pretty accurate left foot kick as well, so he's a star.
We move on to have a look at Norwood versus Lilydale, and Norwood had a big win over Lilydale, 17-14, 1-1-6 to 6-5-41, and my man Jake Ford out at Norwood didn't feature in the goal kickers this week.
No, it didn't feature, but I'm sure it was a nice team effort by Norwood, who are just a formidable force at home, Dukes. I think they've only lost one game there in their past 2 seasons at Mullum Reserve, so they're going about their business very nicely. It was an important win because Lilydale were 5th on the ladder and Norwood were 4th. So with that win, it now just gives that a little bit of breathing space from Norwood to Lilydale. But it means with Lilydale going down, it's a big loss for them. with the South Cordon defeating Warrigal. South Cordon now goes into fifth spot. So the Dales, look like, from all reports, they just looked a bit flat in the weekend, and they're missing some of their best players, which is a bit of a shame, because they started the season so well, but things have really not derailed, but they've really gone downhill in the past couple of weeks. So Simon Rourke and the team will look to try and rectify that as soon as possible, because they're running out of time.
And of course, McCormack out at Norwood, I believe, with a handy 5 goals as well. Out at Scoresby, Scoresby and Knox, a bit of a closer game, but Scoresby proved too good in the end.
Scoresby, what a funny team this year, Scoresby. That last year they finished second on the Division 1 ladder, lost both of their games and went out in straight sets, and they struggled this year. They've lost a lot of key A-graders before the start of the season, and they struggled to really get themselves going. But just had one of those days where everything clicked on Saturday afternoon. They defeated Knox, and they got it into a high-scoring siesta in the end, which isn't something that Knox normally like to do themselves. But Jared Hicks kicked 6 goals. He's been he's been in the club for quite some time, but he's really taken his game to another level this year. And David Dal Parker was named best on ground. He's this week's nomination for the Elite Young Gun. He's a star. He's about 19, 20 years old, but he's got the possible Scoresby captain C written all over him for future. Big raps on this young kid, and he certainly did a great job in leading to the Magpies to a great win over the Falcons.
You're not wrong there, and a couple of interesting names there out at Scoresby, and as I think you just mentioned there, Bronze Chiefs and Del Papa. There's a couple of tongue twisters in that name, no doubt about that. Well, that probably wraps up Premier Division, I think. And then, of course, we had Second Division, and we had a few results there. And Glen Waverley Hawks. Now, there's an interesting one I want to ask you about, Benny. Last week, I think when I spoke to you off air, Glen Waverley Hawks, they had a change to their senior coach. And how did they fare this week? I haven't quite got the result in front of me at the moment.
The Glen Waverley Hawks went down pretty convincingly to the other Hawks. That was of the Boronia variety, and that was that basically went to script. Boronia are a very strong side, but Glen Waverley, the committee last week dismissed Mick Gall from his position as senior coach, and Mark Fitt, a bit of a club legend down there, took over. Look, the Glen Waverley Hawks, they're a funny club as well. In 2011, they played in the 2011 Division 4 Grand Final, and even though they didn't win it, they still went up to Division 3 as we had a team come into Division 4. So to make it nice and even, Glen Waverley Hawks went up to Division 3, and then they played in the Division 3 Grand Final last year as well. So they really did make some big tracks in the past 2 years. They've gone downhill this year. They've lost a lot of their key players, and they've lost their main forward, Andrew Azzopardi, a couple of weeks ago. So the Glen Waverley Hawks, they're now almost in relegation territory now to go back down to Division 4. They've got a massive game this weekend coming up against the Whitehorse Pioneers, based out in Box Hill. They've got a big game this weekend, the Pioneers against the Glen Waverley Hawks. And look, if the Hawks can win that, they'll probably stay clear of relegation, but if the Pioneers win, it just makes it all that more interesting.
Well, that is a match to watch out for this year, and a match that I had my eyes on closely this week was in the second division between Montrose and Doncaster East. Montrose running out victors, I believe, 156-86 in the end, but Carl Peterson, who is a former Hawthorn Hawk, continues to impress this season with a handy 7 goals for the East Doncaster side.
And he was named best on ground as well. Carl, he's going very nicely for the Lions at the moment. I haven't watched the tape back yet, but I've been tipped off that he took some absolute speckies on the weekend. So I had to go back and watch that and see what they're like. I guarantee you he will take mark of the year by the end of this season, and it possibly could be in the game of the weekend. I'm waiting to go back and watch that. He's going along very, very nicely. Montrose display too good for Doncaster East. I'd be very surprised if Montrose wasn't in Division 1 next year, because they are the standout team in Division 2.
And we had a couple of players over the weekend who kicked bags of 10. I'm just looking at Mulgrave and Croydon in second division, and for Croydon, Wainert, is it?
Brendan Wainert, yes.
Brendan Wainert kicked a bag of 10 in Croydon's win over Mulgrave out there.
He's a star. He's done very nice. He can play at either end of the ground. He's actually been playing a fair bit in defence the past couple of weeks, but pushed forward against Mulgrave, and you'd always take 10 lazy goals on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, not lovely there, lovely there. And Muller, I think, out at Doncaster, kicked 8 in third division against the Whitehorse Pioneers in their big win. And one of the others that I did see down the page, yes, it was Templestowe up against Mitcham in third division. Mitcham having a big win out there, but Pym for Mitcham out there kicked another bag of 10.
Stevie Pym, the leading goal kicker in Division 3 at the moment, going along about his business very nicely. Took a couple of years off the EFL. He's a bit of a Scoresby legend, but he's come back to the EFL this year through Mitcham, his junior club, from what I understand, and he's a leading goal kicker down there. But he's also got a plethora of other forwards around him. Johnny Pignataro is one of them, and Chris Hogle is down there at the moment. So they've got a very strong forward line. Mitcham, one of the teams to watch out for in Division 3 come finals time.
And one of the best of field for Mitch, and I've seen in your lovely piece of artwork here in front of me that I get sent from you each Saturday night. Young Jackson Glossop playing with Mitchum this season. Have you come across young Jackson out there?
I haven't seen too much of him, but I think he's a bit of a fringe player, to be honest, at the moment. When
very up and under player is Jackson Glossop. He's on the rise. I know him personally. I went to high school with him, believe it or not, for about 7 years. And no, very good mate of mine, and I've been told that he can play.
He can. We can. I've seen him bob up a number of times with sort of bags of three or four goals. So a small forward, from what I understand, a pretty decent player when he's on his day. Just needs that consistency to stick in that Mitcham senior team. It's pretty hard to get in that Mitcham senior team at the moment because they're going pretty well.
Yeah, they are going very well indeed. And now, before I let you go, Benny, I did have a SMS that came through from a listener, Frank, down at Frankston. Love that one, Frank in Frankston.
Yeah.
And now, he wants to know, I'm trying to find it, because he has shown me where it is. Second division, I think it is. Young Daniel Bell. From Montrose, out in the second division. Is that the former Melbourne player, do you know?
No, it's not. That's not Daniel Bell. No,
it's not Daniel Bell.
No, it's not. But he's a former East Ringwood boy.
Right.
Bell, and he's come across to Montrose this year, and he's having an outstanding year for Montrose. But not the former Demon.
Not the former Demon. All right, there you go, Frank and Frankson. That answers your question. And also another player who's playing some good footy this year. I didn't mention is Wadsworth out at Moorabbin. Kicked a nice bag of 6 goals over the weekend.
He's a good little player, Alex Wadsworth. Had to fill a big hole this year because their big forward, Kidde Telefsky, left the Mustangs pre-season. But Wadsworth going about his business very nicely, being the target up there at full forward, and nice in get a bag of 6.
Well, there you have it. Eastern Football League Round 13 news coming to you directly from Ben Waterworth, the Eastern Football League Media Manager. Benny, thanks for having a brief chat with us tonight about Round 13 Eastern Football League, and we look forward to having another chat with you next Monday for Round 14 update.
Good on you, Dougal. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.